I ran into an acquaintance recently, and he's not Catholic. He goes to some other Christian community here in town, and we've never really talked about the faith. And we're standing in line at a coffee shop, and out of the blue, he says, "What do you think of that Pope Leo?" And before I had a chance to say anything, he said, "I sure hope that this Pope is going to be the Pope that finally brings the church into the modern age." And I wasn't prepared for that, and all I could say was, "I hope not." And the thing is, when I first became open to the idea of God, when I first started to become a Christian, the things that attracted me most to you people had nothing to do with the modern era. The things you were teaching me almost seemed contrary to the modern era. The things you were teaching me seemed to contradict what everyone out there is saying. And things weren't going well for me in the secular world, and I needed something bigger, and a church with a rock band and big comfy chairs wasn't going to be enough. It's different here. There's this, the message that we should, out there, never give up, never surrender. But in here we come in and we kneel down and we surrender. We bring what we have to the foot of the cross. And we're like, "Of myself, I'm nothing. Please help." It's humility. Humility isn't humiliation. Humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Out there, the world tells us to be confident. And in here, we have this confidence in God's greatness and how He could do great things through us. It's a totally different. There's humility in that. Out there, the world tells us we need to be the bestest with the mostest, and we need to get up and get out and outthink and outperform and outmaneuver just to try to get by. And in here, they say, "Why don't you just think about yourself less and try to help others?" Out there, the early bird gets the worm, and in here, just go get out of yourself. Out there, the world tells us, it just tells us a lot of things. And it really, out there, I can't find peace. I can't find what I really need out there. So the church in the modern era really doesn't interest me. And like all these things, the gospel readings today, it was handy I met that guy because it actually fit in perfect with this homily today. Because the modern era, the readings in this gospel today have not been updated to meet the modern era. It's almost contrary. The world is telling us to claim your place at the top, and Jesus is telling us to take the lowest seat. Society tells us to elevate ourselves, and Jesus tells us the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And the second parable, even more extreme, it says, don't invite people who can repay you. Seriously, that's contrary. How are we going to make any money around here? You know? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, right? I mean, but it's the opposite here. You got to give it away to keep it. When we start thinking of others, when we focus on Jesus and try to help others, God provides what we need with surprising abundance. And the reading in Sirach, it doubles down on this. It says, the greater you are, the more you must humble yourselves, so you will find favor in the sight of the Lord. These are tough teachings, technically. I mean, some of us can hear this and think, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, but it's hard to live up to. I can't just say, okay, now I'm humble. Look how humble I am. It's difficult. We need God's help, and that's why we're here. Jesus is using these parables also to point out something much bigger. The help that is available from Him isn't just of this world, it's out of this world. There is some supernatural stuff He's getting ready to reveal to us in the Gospels, and He's hinting at that, He's pointing at that. It says, if you look at this first parable, Jesus is referring to a wedding feast. And I don't know if that jumped out at anyone, but throughout, if you'd have been a follower of Jesus who was there that day and you heard wedding banquet, your ears might, it would have caught your attention, because he's been referring to himself as the bridegroom, and it may not have made any sense, but he's been referring to things like the wedding feast and the bridegroom, and he performed his first miracle at a wedding, and there's something about this idea of a wedding. And later in the Gospels, we see the bridegroom. We see Christ, the bridegroom, with his bride, the church, establishing a new and everlasting covenant. Jesus instituting the sacrament of the Eucharist as a covenant in his own blood. The wedding banquet. This is the wedding banquet. And Jesus, just like he said in the parable, this is the wedding banquet. He takes the lowest place. He takes the lowest place. He takes his place on the cross. And he doesn't invite the people who can repay him. He invites the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. He's inviting us. We are the crippled and the lame, because without him there's so much we can't do. And we're blind because our minds are closed. And we're poor in spirit because of our sin, but still we're invited here. Later in Revelations about this wedding feast, it says, "The wedding feast of the Lamb has begun, and his bride is prepared to welcome him." His bride, the church, is us, and this part of the Mass is where we become prepared to welcome him at the altar. And just for anyone here that's new, I know there's a couple of people here who aren't Catholic, who are new. This is pretty deep stuff, so just keep an open mind and come back. But the fact is, there's a lot happening here that is beyond our ability to understand or see or taste or touch or feel. And science teaches that visible proof is the weakest proof. There's the second reading, I think, has elements of the Mass in this idea of what happens here that we're not seeing. It says, "Approaching that which cannot be touched, a blazing fire among gloominess, countless angels in festal gatherings, the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant." Sounds like the Mass. And we come forward, aware of the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, even though it doesn't look like it or feel like it or taste like it. He died for our sins, he rose from the dead, and he left us this covenant, this sacrament. We come forward, we receive him, body, soul, and divinity, and strengthened by this, we have a share in his divinity. So then we go out and do likewise. We go out and we take the lowest place to give of ourselves so that he can work through us in ways that we can't, we may not even be comprehending how he's working for us. We just show up and do, humble, knowing that without him we're nothing, and confident that believing he can demonstrate through us what he can do. And there's a prayer attributed to St. Francis that sort of wraps all this up, I think, with what's happening. It says something like, "By self-forgetting one finds, and by forgiving we are forgiven, and by dying we are awakened to eternal life."